come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation from the Heart to Heart 2016 Women's Spring Luncheon. Our theme was simplicity, based on 2 Corinthians 1:12. It says, "For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you." We start our presentation off with a skit performed by Andrea Langham and Bethany Wilson, followed by our guest speaker, Rita Garza. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please call 714-891-9495 or visit our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Please help me welcome Andrea and Bethany in a day in their simple so-called life.
Call Bethany.
Calling Bethany.
Oh my goodness. Hey friend, how's it going? Is everything okay?
Hey there, I'm so sorry to actually call you. I would have totally texted, but my hands are covered in homemade almond milk.
What happened?
There was an immersion blender incident. Oh, okay, so I had my plastic blender near the stove where I was heating up my essential oil stress-free blend.
Right.
While yelling at my kids for the 100th time to turn the TV down, because I'm pretty sure it's giving them the ADD. When the plastic melted almond milk everywhere and actually had to throw my phone over into a pile of laundry so that it wouldn't get hurt, because if I hurt my phone, life as I know would be over.
Right? Like, how would you ever know what time it is, right? Or think of all the photo ops you miss out on of your cooking and your kids' activities.
And right? I mean,
forget about emailing, and I would probably never hear from you until you got your new phone.
Well, right, and then, like, nobody would know how great of a mom I am.
I know.
They wouldn't see all my kids' activities, right?
And also, Andrea, I feel as a friend, on a new blog I was just reading, it said that plastic in your cooking appliances is causing cancer and irritable bowel syndrome in our children. Hold on, I'll send you the link.
Oh, man. That must be where Shiloh's stomach issues are coming from.
Yep.
I thought it was from all the kale and chia seeds I've been giving her. But it has to be the plastic in the immersion blender.
It is.
Take that, Dr. Jones. He actually told me to be giving her less fiber, and I was like, and let her catch the cancer? No, thank you.
You know what? Speaking of almond milk, I posted that recipe for the gluten-free, dairy-free lasagna, and you didn't like it. Are you upset with me about something?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. I was looking at it, and I was about to like it, and I was over at Shiloh's softball. No, not her game. I was at piano. No. I was at Future Leaders of America Club.
Oh.
I was looking at my phone. I looked up, and there she was all by herself. Class had been over for like 10 minutes. So
well, they should really announce when class is over. I mean, we can't be involved in everything that's going on. We have enough on our plates with everything we're involved in. And wait a second. What, Taylor? No, you cannot go out and play with your friends. You haven't finished your Abraham Lincoln bio, your silent reading, and I posted the daily affirmation on the homemade chalkboard, and you have not responded. So no friend time. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes, yes, yes. We have so much going on. Plus church. I mean, I don't remember the last time I got to go to church. And I know fellowship is important, but I just can't get there.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. I've really missed being with everyone, and I've noticed that our attitudes have changed. Like, my kids are all of a sudden like, it's all about me, when I'm like, well, really, it's all about me and some of my time. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like an amen? Come on.
Amen. Amen. Come on now.
Right?
Well, I was just listening to my newest parenting podcast. That reminds me. It was during volleyball practice or something like that.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
It's that new one, Perfect Parents, Perfect Kids. It's by that lady who did Perfect Summer, Perfect Abs. Do you remember that one?
I need the ab one. I got some holes in my Sphinx the other day, and now it looks like I'm smuggling donut holes around my waist. I keep looking for the perfect Pinterest midsection workout, but I would need to buy like 3 kettlebells in a box. Nobody's got time for that.
I know.
I mean, come on. But the parenting podcast sounds good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Anyway, it was saying that we were basically made to be loved and adored. And if our children don't feel loved and adored, then they can't be expected to love others. It's all a vicious cycle. Round and round we go.
Yeah. You know, you're right. I was just at a 3-day seminar on how to love yourself so that you can love other people. Mm-hmm. And after some intense reflection and some blogging about it, and I really got to share all my knowledge with my ladies' Bible study about it, I think I might be ready to actually do it. But it's so hard. Why does everything be so hard? Why can't things be simple?
I know. There's got to be an easier way, right? You know what? That reminds me of my daily Bible verse on my Bible app from today. It was 2 Corinthians 1:12. Paul says, "For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God." Simplicity. I mean, what is simplicity? What is it that we are mainly called to do anyway?
I guess simplicity. I mean, what we're called to do in the simplest form would be what Jesus said, to love God and to love his people.
Yeah. It's so hard to remember that with everything that we put on ourselves to do and to be. We forget that our main calling is to love God and love people, and everything else is, well, it's extra, right?
Wait. Turn the TV down. You're going to catch the brain damage. Oh, my kids, I'm sorry. My kids are messing up my whole day.
Well, speaking of kids, it's time for our daily feelings powwow, so I'm going to let you go. Oh, wait, what were you calling for?
Oh, sorry. I get so distracted sometimes. I was calling for your recipe for your gluten-free, dairy-free lasagna.
Oh, LOL. Let me send the link. Hold on.
Great. TTYL.
BBFN. Abby, Taylor, Jack, I said it's time for feelings powwow. Get down here.
I'm sure none of you could relate to that, right? None of you. If you need some deciphering on those TTYL and BBFF, that's all right. Ask a friend. They'll help you out with that. Thanks very much. We laugh, but we laugh, and it's one of those nervous laughs like, yeah, that's funny, but whoa, that sounds so much like me. Or wow, that sounds like my family, or maybe my kids or my grandkids. And there's a lot going on in our world, and God calls us regularly, always, to come back to him, to be still and to be silent, to be simple in resting in him. And so that's part of why we're here today, is to rest and reflect and relax in God and the good fellowship of our friends here. We have another treat for you today with our keynote speaker, Rita Garza. Rita's story is as amazing as the God that she serves. She's been married to Pete for 13 years, and they share the joys and the challenges of raising 4 beautiful kids. She's now in a place of wholeness, and she's experienced the forgiveness that God, only God, can give through his son, Jesus. She feels her calling is to share with broken women what Jesus has given her, which is forgiveness, love, mercy, grace, and redemption. Knowing that only in him, according to Romans, that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Please join me in welcoming Rita.
Mm. That was a perfect introduction. Perfect. Well, I'm so excited to be here, and it's just such a blessing to be able to come out and share with you ladies what the Lord has put on my heart regarding simplicity. And I just do want to make some family claims. I've been out here a few times in the last year to share my testimony. Sorry, my hair's all over this thing. Okay. And I have a wonderful family, wonderful church family, but also wonderful family. This is my Aunt Joy, and your pastor is my uncle, and I love them so much, and I'm proud of them beyond words just for their obedience to the Lord and their wonderful children like Bethany and her husband Jeff and their kids and Shannon, Jesse, and Jeremy and Joanna and Starlin, and my Aunt Mary's here too, and my mom is Bill's sister, and I'm just so blessed. And coming here is like coming home away from home, because I come from Moreno Valley. I go to Calvary Chapel, Moreno Valley, and we've been fellowshipping there for about 11 years, and we love it. And just come here, it just feels like you're just at home again, you know, and not just because it's family, but just the wonderful servanthood and beautiful ladies that are here, and the men too, but I'm addressing you guys right here. But we had a conference here a couple weeks ago called the Breaking Through Young Women's Conference, and so many came alongside and just supported and prayed, and it was just wonderful. I made a lot of new friends, so that was an awesome experience. And before we start, though, I'd like to just pray. So if you'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this opportunity to come here and be with these ladies, to fellowship, and just how beautiful and simple everything is laid out. It's such a blessing. And we just want to invite you here and just fill this place with your spirit and just speak to our hearts, Lord. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. And I'm going to invite a rock star up here. Because that's how she wants to be. She said it. But I'm going to invite my Aunt Mary up here. And she's going to help me out for just a minute. Don't worry, she won't be up here the whole time. You got scared.
You got to be involved in everything.
She's like, please, can you bring me up just for a minute?
Please, I do.
No, no. But what I want you to do is... But just to think about your life, as I was sitting down thinking simplicity, of course, we're looking at our life, and Andrea and Bethany did such an awesome job of pretty much summing up a lot of what goes on in our lives as ladies. But take a moment to think with me of what makes up your life and the people and the activities. Maybe you have animals. A lot of us talk about our animals and things that are concerns in forefront of your mind. Now, I'm going to share with you some just visuals, because I'm partly a visual person. I like to look at these things and stuff, so I pulled things that kind of represent my life, okay? You might have got a little scared thinking this was my message for today. Let's just be here a few more minutes. But it's not. We are going through escrow on a home right now, and Lord willing, we'll be in a new home in another month. So this is my new home packet, you know, all the papers. I was like, what? Thank goodness a lot of things are e-signing. So she's going to help me hold a lot of these things. This is our beautiful family. My husband, Pete, we've been married almost 14 years, and we have four beautiful children. We have Leah, David, Ileana, and Aiden. Yeah, I think I'll bring this up. Okay, so I am a homeschooling mom, so we got to have lots of pencils, right, and erasers. And three of them are in school, so I get to homeschool them. And we have to be concerned of our children's devotional time and their spiritual development and their prayer. So I have our book on children devotions and our family entertainment time. Now, all this was laid out super neat on my paper, but we know life's not like that. So some things might be like, what is she talking about? Okay. So I have a movie that my son wanted to be make very clear that he does not like this movie Inside Out. But 5 minutes it's on, he's staring at the TV the whole time. He's like, you got to tell him, I don't like them. Now, we have to, you might like this after all, but a bag in case she needs it for all my stuff. But you got to go shopping and do all the planning for the food and the things for the home. And no, this isn't for disciplining. This is for cooking. But maybe, but anyway.
It was when I was growing up.
No, I brought this book. Discipline with love. Got to do the budget, right? Yeah, that was yours at one time.
This used to be mine.
Got to do the cleaning, right? All the cleaning. Okay. We have animals. We have a fish. We have the world's shortest dog leash. I'm like... So we have two dogs. Got to get that exercise time in for me.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
That also I think you gave to me. And our two cats. So here's the little kitty leash. We are a sports family, so we have football. And my husband was a football coach at the high school level, and he just stepped down to do the Pop Warner level with my son. He's very involved. We have swim. My two oldest are in competitive swim. Got to plan and write everything out, right, and have your calendars. God, just definitely. Got to have some time with the husband, go out on a date or something like that once in a while. She would do that. Our devotional time. Now, I thought it was funny that this has probably been in my drawer for years and nothing's in it. We never did it. So, and then I'm involved in ministry. Like we said, I do women's ministry at church, and we just went through Beth Moore's David. So that's a nice, long study. It's very good. And Why Does Wool Ministries, just seeking to reach out to women. Women who have maybe lost children from infant loss or miscarriage or abortion as well. We just had our Breaking Through Ministries, like was said in my bio, to reach out to women. And then I had this, of course, my kids have Legos, right? And I was like, well, these are like all my nephews, nieces, cousins, aunts, uncles. And we figured out we have 10 nephews and 3 nieces directly, and then tons of cousins and stuff. And, it's okay. No. I didn't want to scare you, so once in a while I do my makeup and my hair. So fun. You could use the bag, like.
No, I'm good.
Okay, she likes it. Oh, I guess this was my secret candy addiction. I have. That I love sugar, trying to stay away from it, but those bunk cakes were delicious. I had to eat that. But I'll keep this one away from you.
Yeah, because that was going in my back pocket too.
My kids know where to get the candy, right? And then I do have a few friends, and this one's a little crazy. I kind of drove her crazy, calling her for prayer all the time. I don't know. She's not that much together. No, I have a couple friends. And my hobby, like highlights on it. I like to read if I do have time. I don't have that much time, but it's fun. And then I liked when the ladies were sharing about just all the things that pop up throughout during the day and all the unexpected things that may happen or the things that are pressing you at the forefront of your mind and concerns and stuff or issues with children or whatever it is or just past things. Sometimes there's like sins we struggle with or things that are heavy. And it's a bag of rocks. It's rocks in here, but just those things can be heavy on us too, okay? And also our phones, as the ladies were opening their phones, and I was like, yeah, we have, you know, our social media, our Facebook, our Instagram, our pictures, our emails, my cozy calendar that sends all the information to my husband and me about our planning and stuff. I have one game, and of course my Bitmoji. I was just sharing with you my Bitmoji. Thank you, Lisa and Antoinette. They shared Bitmoji with me. Got to have emoji that looks like you. And last but not least... God, right? And is not least, but I needed to have this out for today and just that everything we do is founded on the Lord, right? Okay, so you could go organize my life.
Yeah.
But I'll keep the candy. And everyone's life is so different, and I'm not judging saying you're not busy enough or you're too busy or you have, you know, other things that you should be doing, but really I started questioning, are all these things that I do necessary? And I have to ask God to direct me in everything that I do. And he says in Proverbs 3:5-6, he says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. But I can say that the foundation of it all, for if we're believers, is God. We have to be founded on that. And he gave his precious son to us, right? And by faith, we're saved. And he sent his Holy Spirit to strengthen and empower us and lead us as we go through life. And we need to stay connected to him regularly every day so he can direct our lives. And so as we look at our verse today in 2 Corinthians 1:12, and I'll read it again, for our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God and supremely so toward you. And I wanted to look a little bit of where Paul was coming from, sorry about that, in this verse. And Paul had brought the gospel to Corinth in his second missionary journey, and he had faced opposition from the Jews, and so he's turning to the Gentiles and giving them the gospel message. And he spent about a year and a half there teaching, and he started a church, and then he moved along. And he's writing his second letter to the Corinthians from Macedonia, and he journeyed later to stay with the Corinthian church again for a short time. But there was a problem, that Paul was being slandered by false prophets that were coming into the church. And they brought their fake teachings, and they were infecting the believers and causing discord. And so Christians started questioning, was Paul really an apostle, and questioning his authenticity. And he was fearful of them being corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, "But I fear somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And by looking at Paul's life, the credentials of his life, and who he was before he was a believer and throughout his life, he was able to discredit these false teachers. And he did it in various ways. Well, one, he suffered for Christ. From his radical transformation on the way to persecute Christians, he, throughout his life, would suffer for Christ. Another thing was that he didn't preach for profit like these false teachers were doing. And it was in his weaknesses and suffering and not his eloquence and his strength and what he knew that proved who his character was. And the greatest witness was all the fruit that was happening in the Corinthian church and those Christians. It showed that he was an authentic messenger of God and that the Spirit of God did the work through Paul to cause change. And the seal of authenticity was greater than the claims of the false prophets. And so today I wanted to look at three questions. The first is, what does a life of simplicity and godly sincerity look like? How do we live a life of simplicity and godly sincerity? And what is the testimony of our conscience? So the first question is, what does a life of simplicity and godly sincerity look like? And I really like to look up definitions and break down words, and I really like the Merriam-Webster definition, so I have those dictionaries at home, and I like getting online and looking at that as well. So I'll be giving you a few definitions. And simplicity is freedom from intricacy or complexity. And I really like things simple. I like them laid out months in advance, right? And you tell me something months in advance, I put it in my cozy calendar in my phone. And that way, like I said, it gets sent to my husband's email, my email, and we all know what's going on. They even have all these color coding things. I don't do all that. I just make sure the basics are laid out and I print it out every month, you know. Of course, things come up all the time. And I like map directions that are step by step by step. Tell me where to turn. Even though I did go on the wrong freeway today, I've been down here many times. I'm like, I feel like this freeway's too calm. Like, this is not Orange County. Maybe it was. We're moving out of Orange County. So, but it was nice. We were super early, so it worked out perfectly. But, you know, give me those lines and freeways and streets, and I'm like trying to move with the map, and I'm like, I can't figure this out. But other people, you may be the person who says, that's simple to me, and that's fine. Everyone has a different idea of simplicity in their life, but the gospel message, in essence, is simple. God loves us. He sent his one and only son to die for us, and whoever believes in him gets eternal life. It's simplicity. That's John 3:16, and that's it. And I love this story, and the ladies alluded to it or started talking about it in their skit, and we did not talk about, you know, coordinate anything. I love how God does that always, right? In Matthew 22, and a Pharisee who was a lawyer was trying to trick Jesus, as they always wanted to do, right? And they asked Jesus, or he asked Jesus, what the greatest commandment in the law is. And Jesus goes to the Old Testament, what they would know. And he goes to Deuteronomy, and he goes to Leviticus. And Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And I love it. He broke down all their knowledge and everything that they had gained and thought that they knew into two simple instructions. And that was it. And if we do those things, then we're fulfilling any law that, like, even our government could put over us, right? And, well, for the most part, you know, things are crazy. But but for the most part, it's true, right? We'll be doing and we're submissive to our those the Lord has put over us. But one thing God wants us to do is he wants to follow us to follow in the steps of Jesus and living that out in our life. In 1 Peter 2:21, he says, or the word says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor deceit, nor was deceit found in his mouth." And I was beginning to prepare this message today many weeks ago when I was reading this verse in 1 Peter 2. And there was a reflection section. Right now I'm reading out of a Dr. David Jeremiah study Bible that I got for my birthday this year, and I absolutely love it. And he was referring to it's called In His Steps, and it was published in 1896 by Pastor Charles Sheldon, and he asked that famous question, "What would Jesus do?" And Dr. David Jeremiah says in closing, "Every Christian must ask these questions. Where is your daily walk heading, and are you in step with Jesus?" And so I was just really thinking about that, and I was like, wow, you know, just simply, what would Jesus do? But in every aspect of my life, it's easier said than done sometimes, right? And it made me think not just of my life in general, but the each and every day life. What am I doing? Am I in step with Jesus? Am I truly doing what he wants me to do? Now, Paul feared that the Corinthians' hearts would be pulled away from that simplicity in Christ, that simply having faith in Jesus Christ is what saves us. And there was so much to distract in their lives and with the false teachers who were preaching a different message about the truth of God. Today, we face that same problem. There's so much in life to distract us more than ever. There are all the false messages of what worldly truth is that want to persuade our hearts to leave the one true God. So what do? We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and follow his steps. In the morning, I read these things in 1 Peter, and I was doing the reflection. This is what I wrote in my journal. "I feel I'm standing ready to follow Jesus. I have prayed and read his word. My heart and mind are quiet. The day has scarcely begun, and the kids are still asleep by God's grace." Mm-hmm. "Where will this day go? Will I struggle again? Yes. Prepare my mind for action, Lord. I can almost see the day and its concerns carry me away from where Jesus is as I get caught up," and you could fill in the blank, all the various things that happen in your day. "See, I already feel my steps away from Jesus. What do I do? Be a sheep who hears her master's voice and comes. When I wander, come back as he calls for me through his Holy Spirit. And wait, don't be in a hurry. The day will come and go, but what I do in that day, each moment, ask him, am I in step with Jesus? Sit at his feet or be on my feet, which will last? Which will leave the greatest mark on those I love? Which will remain? Only what Jesus has led me to do." And then I started thinking about sincerity. And it's being honest and genuine. And in the NIV, they use the word integrity, the quality of being honest and fair. And I like when some people say to describe it is that you're the same person, whether people are watching you or not, you're that same person. And so I have some scriptures here. In 1 Peter 2:12, it says, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." People can see who you are by the observations of your life, and that our words need to align with our deeds. We cannot compare ourselves to others. Only God's standard will do. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 17 to 18, it says, "But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." And that our desire of our heart should be to please God alone. In Galatians 1:10, it says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." We need to be genuine and truly have love for one another. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." And last, it says Psalm 15, verses 1 to 2, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. And that our desire should be that God is glorified in everything we do, that people can look at our lives and see that who they are and what they say, that lines up. Like, I can see in their actions that their deeds line up with their actions as well. their deeds line up with what they say. I'm sorry. And that, you know, that we're not looking to meet anyone else's standards, because it's so easy to look at someone and say, well, I do more than them, or I'm better than them, or I'm not as bad as so-and-so or something like that, because that's not who we compare ourselves to. We only compare ourselves to the Lord and the standard that he has set for us. And our desire should be to please him alone and not men. And that we just have to genuinely have a true love for one another, and like in our families and in our churches and beyond, we have to have a true love. And sometimes we just have to ask God, help me to love, teach me how to love, because it doesn't always come naturally, right? And our desires should be that people can look at us and see that we do walk righteously with him, and they could observe that in our lives. The second question was, how do we live a life of simplicity and godly sincerity? Well, the verse says, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God. That's how we do it, by God's grace. It's not something that we deserve or we can earn, but it's something that God gives us. It's unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification to make us more like Jesus. Dr. David Jeremiah says, when he's talking about this verse specifically, God's grace supplies uncommon strength and confidence beyond anything within myself. And that's so true. I couldn't even stand up here today and tell you anything without God's grace. There's no way I could be a mom of four kids and be a wife without his grace and him helping me each and every day. We can't use our earthly wisdom, like Paul says, or we're usually going to fail. And I don't know if someone mentioned already, we have two adopted kids. And on June 5th, we will have them for 1 year as our adopted kids. And I love how God adopts us into his family and how we can adopt these kids and their actual brother and sister. And that was our heart when we wanted to foster and adopt, is that I was like, I couldn't imagine my kids being separated ever. So it was really just the Lord confirming that and bringing them into our lives. But it's been the most challenging year ever. And my mom was right there, and we were just at the table. Like, I'm constantly, she must be like, okay, it's going to be all right, you know, because I'm constantly like, oh my gosh, this happened, that happened, and this is struggling. But, you know, the Lord's been in it all, and as long as I keep giving it back to him and trusting him, and it's not that from a lack of love, because we love them, but it's the way we love them. God knows their hearts and what they've gone through and what they need, and that's been, like, the most difficult thing is learning to love them the way God wants us to, the way their hearts need it. And so it's only by God's grace that we can do that. God's grace supplied Paul with as much as was needed for whatever he was going through, and he does that for us too. And Paul was like, you know, like he had a radical conversion. He had all these revelations from the Lord, but he didn't want to boast about those things, right? He didn't want people to think more of him than what he said, what they heard from him and what he wrote and what he actually did. But he wanted to boast in his weaknesses. He would rather boast in being ill and having people criticize him and his needs and being oppressed and all his sufferings for Christ's sake. Why? Because he says, for when I am weak, I am strong. And that Paul could boast because he could say it's all God. It's all him doing it. No matter what we have gone through or are going through, God's grace gets us through. When we are weak, then his strength can be seen. And it is only by him that we live this life victoriously, and we can continue to live it victoriously every day and get through the obstacles. God tells us to live this life by following him and obeying him. In Deuteronomy 13:4, he says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. I like that, holding fast to him. And in the Old Testament, we see a repeated theme, and we see it from the Garden of Eden, right, from Adam and Eve, that they're in a right relationship with God, and then they disobey him, and God has to discipline them, and then they repent, and they obey him, and they're in a right relationship with God again, and they're receiving his blessings, and then what happens? They disobey, and God disciplines them, and they repent, and then they're obedient, and then they're in a right relationship with God, and they get his blessing. And then it's like, but praise God, because, I mean, have you ever done this? I have, right? Part of my testimony of who I was before Christ includes being very promiscuous at a young age and being a pregnant teenager and then having an abortion by the time I was 14. But God saved me from it all because of his love for me. He extended his grace and mercy and forgiveness. And you know what? I repeated that cycle again, and I was backslid for many years. And I was able to come back to him. And he forgave me again, and he has mercy and grace, and he always had his hand on me. And if that's you, he has his hand on you too, because you're his child, you're his daughter, and he loves you. And out of it all, he gave me a heart for brokenhearted women, like was said earlier. And my desire is just lead them back to Jesus, always back to true and complete healing, because our earthly wisdom's not going to give that. Are we repeating these patterns, though, like in the Bible over and over in our life? Are we stuck in any area other than a right relationship with God? Are we walking in obedience to him, depending on his grace to sustain us, receiving his blessings? Because if we're living in any other place, it's a scary place to be. Like I said, we've all been there, and we may have gone back to it again. And we all sin as believers, but there's a difference between committing a sin and living in sin, right? God forgives when we ask, when we have a sincere heart. And we repent, and we turn from our sin, and we turn back to God. And if we struggle in an area, God can work it out. You just have to let him, just give it to him and say, you know, work this out. This is my struggle, and he is faithful to do it. Even if it's patience, you just ask for it, okay? Because I know some people don't want to ask for that because they're like, I'm going to get tested. Well, I've been there, and I'm there. I know. I know. And the last question was, what is the testimony of our conscience? And our conscience is that part of our mind that tells us, like, morally something we're doing or saying is right or wrong, right? And testimony, sometimes people think, like, the testimony in court we give, and this is the proof of what is right or whatever, and this is the evidence, and we're going to show you something's true. But as a believer, it's a story of who we were and who we are and how Jesus Christ has made the difference in our lives. And our lives, our past lives and our present lives, are the evidence. That's how people can see the proof of our testimony. Dr. David Jeremiah states, Paul's sincerity and integrity in his dealings with the Corinthians was revealed in his writings and in his conduct. Remember, I said they have to line up. I say this and I do this. Well, they need to be the same before the Lord. And our testimony, like I said, is our lives, and people can see it's changed by God. They can see it lived out daily. And it displays the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, that we're genuine, right? That we're living by God's grace and no other, that our conscience is clear because God, through Jesus, has forgiven our sins and he's made us white and clean. And if we have trouble, we can go to him again and we can repent and he can continually make us clean and get us back on the right track with him. And then we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us, and we listen, and we allow him to direct our lives. And I hope, like Paul and Timothy, that we can boast, and we can know, and we can be proud about the fact that we live rightly, the way God has intended to us to, that we desire to follow Jesus, and we desire to follow in his steps, that we lived in a way that we didn't use man's wisdom, but by God's grace, his strength in our weakness. And to close, I love what Paul tells the Corinthians as he ends his letter and he says farewell to them. He says, be complete, meaning aim for perfection. Now, we're not going to be perfect this side of heaven, right? But we can aim to be like the perfect one, Jesus. We can live our lives with all glory for God. So we can say, like Paul and his companions, our boast is this. The testimony of our conscience that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God and supremely so toward you. And I love you, ladies, and I look forward to seeing you guys again. And I just let me pray with you guys right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together with these ladies. You have given us a heart that desires to be filled by you. And I pray that's what our desire is, that as we live life with all of its concerns and stresses, with things that we struggle with daily and things that were in our past, that we give them all to you. And we ask by your grace to fill us and to give us strength to get through it, and that our lives can show that we love you, that we're changed by you, and may our lives draw other people to you, Lord. May our lives be all about you. We thank you and we praise you, and we know that you will do the work that you have begun in us. And just even now, we say thank you, because it's going to be hard, but you give us grace to sustain us and to get us through. Let us trust you wholly and fully with our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I'm really blessed to be a part of such special women. All of you, God loves you so much. And I am, I realize that there are maybe some people here who have never taken the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is what we're talking about here. Do you have Jesus Christ living in your heart? Your life came to an end right now, where would you go? Would you go to be with the one that you love? Would you go to heaven? Would you go to be with Jesus? You won't go to be with Jesus if you don't have him living in your heart, if you're not part of his family. You'll be going home if you're part of his family. So all it takes is just a simple prayer to the Lord to just say, Lord, would you come and live in my heart? I am sorry for my sins. Would you cleanse me? Would you just come and dwell with me and help me to live a life that's pleasing to you? And I'll give you all the glory for it. That's all it takes. So if you've never done that, I hope that you will do that today. My prayer is that you will do that today. I am so blessed by this family. I'm obviously blessed by my husband, Bill, and I'm blessed by being sisters with Mary and with Anne and with Nora. These guys accepted me into this family, and you guys all know what it's like. You get married, you married into a family. They have to love you. Yeah. Well, that isn't always the case, is it? No. When I came into this family, they accepted me with open arms. I had a wonderful mother-in-law, and I am just so thankful. I know that's not the case with everybody, so I want you to know that I am a blessed woman, and I know that I'm a blessed woman. I am just so excited to be part of that family, and now to see Rita here sharing with you ladies, and you get a chance to share with the next generation of ladies that are coming up and sharing with you what the love of Christ is all about. Because we look at our generation and we just go, I don't know. I don't know where they're going. What are they thinking? Why are they going in that direction? And this is the direction they're going in. This is the generation that says, we want people to come to Jesus. We want our generation to come to Jesus. And I am just so excited about this stuff that she shared. And again, I am a blessed woman, and I'm thankful. And I'm even more blessed to be a part of this family here at Refuge Calvary Chapel. And you guys are just awesome people. You are awesome. Let's pray. Father God, we are so blessed. We are so blessed to be a part of what you're doing here on this earth, Lord. We are blessed to be able to share your love, your acceptance, your forgiveness with others that are around us. Lord, we always have opportunities to do that, to love one another, to forgive one another, to offer grace to one another. Thank you for giving us the ability to do that. When we come to the end of ourselves and we realize, I don't have love for that person, we pray and we ask you, would you give me your love for that person? When we don't have forgiveness in our hearts because we just can't bring ourselves to forgive, Lord, we ask you and you forgive through us. You give us that ability to ask, to just forgive other people. We recognize, Lord, that we have need of forgiveness. And so you said, if we don't forgive, we don't get forgiven. So, Lord, thank you that you give us that ability to forgive. And you accepted us, Lord. And there are people in our lives, we don't want to accept them. We don't want to bring them into, we don't want to embrace them. We hate, we would never say that out loud, Lord, but there are people in our lives that we don't want to embrace. We don't want to accept. But Lord, you give us the ability to accept them. It's through your love, it's through your acceptance and your forgiveness, Lord, that we stand here today. I pray, Father, that you would bless each woman that's here. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you would anoint them afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would have your hand on each one of them. Lord, that they would be so aware of your presence with them in a way that I always pray, Lord, that it would be like a hand on their shoulder. They would be so aware of your presence, that they would be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. That they would be blessed beyond measure. Lord, that you would give them a day-to-day like none other. Lord, filled with the joy unspeakable and full of your glory. Lord, that they would experience a peace that surpasses all understanding, that would keep our hearts and minds in you, Christ Jesus. Lord, that you would just cause us to seek you in every decision that we make. And I don't know why I'm praying that, but Lord, whatever those decisions are that people are making today, that they would seek you in that decision. And Lord, at the end of the day, that you'd be glorified. Would you just bless us as we bless one another, Lord? And thank you for these precious, precious souls, Lord, these precious ladies. Thank you so much, Lord. You are so good. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.